Hi, everybody. Thank you for being here. This is such an interesting topic, and the media has been really on top of this summer, partly because I think bedbugs are starting to show up in that commercial sector now, in retail stores and the movie theaters. So it's become a hot topic, finally. I've been working for Cornell University for 11 years in the New York State Integrated Pest Management Program. And pretty much when I first started working there, bedbugs appeared on the scene. And the first case that I saw was actually a very wealthy home in Nassau County. And the house, the woman's child had been at some kind of a camp. And his bedroom was fairly infested with bedbugs. And back then, nobody knew anything about bedbugs. We really hadn't thought about them. And the woman didn't freak out. She didn't, you know, have a heart attack about it. They just solved the problem. And nowadays, as you know, bedbugs have become incredibly difficult to deal with and much more widespread than we ever imagined they would. Back in 2000 or 2001, people said, the pest control industry said, this is just a nuisance pest. So in the 10 years that I've been working on bedbugs, I've watched the population, so to speak, grow. I've seen so many more issues as the years go by. And I was part of New York City's response to bedbugs, which was that they created the New York City Bedbug Advisory Board. It's often called the task force, but it really is an advisory board. It met for a finite amount of time, and we came up with some recommendations for New York City's next steps to address bedbugs. So what I'm going to do today is go through some slides that I have behind me, and it's very basic, and lead off with where we're going with this, because I know you'll have questions about just about every aspect of bedbugs. So this is a billboard somewhere near here in Times Square, I believe, and it's true, bedbugs do suck. But what are they? I frequently still get this question, what are bedbugs? They are insects. They are a group of insects in the family Cimicidae, and all the Cimicids, do the same thing. They feed on blood, they have no wings, they look fairly similar, and they are very closely related to insects that feed on plants, such as aphids and cicadas. They have the same mouth parts, or stink bugs. So they really have just switched their adaptation to blood meals and have become, you know, actually, most of them feed on bats and birds. We have one species, really, that feeds on people. This is hard to see here, but bedbugs, this is an adult bedbug here. That's a sesame seed, poppy seed, and that's a young bedbug. They're visible. The myth that I see a lot is that bedbugs are invisible. They are only invisible because of the way they hide. But you can see here that they are large enough to be seen with the naked eye. This is often the first sign that people will see. I'm sort of reiterating because all these pieces of information are out there already, but the small fecal spots that bedbugs leave behind are their telltale sign. And bedbugs feed only on blood the same way mosquitoes do. This is another picture. It's a little hard to see, but there's a stylet here where they feed on blood, and their mouth parts sort of push back, and they feed like mosquitoes do. Okay. They don't carry disease, but we're starting to recognize that they have long-term health effects and negative health effects. And the long-term health effects tend to be with anxiety, depression, fatigue, and the financial losses and all the stress that go along with those things. That's mental health. Mental health is definitely a part of physical health. And although someone may end up with scars or a skin infection, the mental health issue is much more widespread than we have acknowledged to this point. Rarely they cause asthma, and they trigger asthma and cause anemia. And we have seen in modern days severe cases of bedbugs that had resulted in an anemic patient. Now, these are just some of the little places where you might find bedbugs. Some examples of where they hide. This is the screw hole of it underneath an office chair, in fact. So it's plastic and metal. The myth is that they don't like plastic or metal, but they do. This is the tab of a dictionary. You can't really see it that well, but there are bedbugs hiding in that tab of the dictionary. This is obviously just a screw underneath a piece of wooden furniture, and the other picture is part of a headboard. The biggest question I get is why? Why are bed bugs back? What has made them come back? And people have all sorts of theories, and they bounce their theories off me. The truth is, we're not quite sure the real exact reason. We have a lot of ideas. There have been most definitely changes in other types of pest management. We don't use sprays as often for cockroaches and ants, particularly in the home. This is what's called integrated pest management. We have moved to the reliance on baits and other kinds of measures to deal with cockroaches and ants, which are two of the most common household pests. And other types of insecticides have been banned. We have taken a lot of things off the market, ironically about 10 years ago. So there's a theory that some of the other pesticides that were taken off the market because of children's health may have been keeping bedbugs under control for this time. There is certainly a lack of knowledge and experience of dealing with bedbugs. We're on a learning curve, and this year I think the curve soared because of the media's interest in bedbugs finally and the public's interest. You know, if you go into Victoria's Secret and you're concerned that you might have a bedbug somewhere in that lingerie, you're not going to go buy it. So it's a real press relations or public relations nightmare for companies, for hotels, for movie theaters. And people lack the experience, and they also have a lot of fear of this pest. There's been, so far, a lack of government involvement. New York City only took this issue on in, this report is dated April 2010. So in 2009, they realized that they had to do something. There's the idea that bedbugs never actually disappeared. We know that they have always been a problem in chickens or poultry operations, which usually makes people smile, really. But one of the things that bedbugs can feed on and thrive on, aside from humans, is chickens. So in poultry, in egg-laying farms, we do see bedbugs as one of the minor pests, but certainly one of the pests. And they may have been in the United States all along. And bottom line is that bedbugs are taboo. Nobody wants to talk about them. Nobody wants to admit if they have them. And we are trying to break that taboo. I think the media has done a fine job breaking the taboo by talking about it, simply talking about it. There are blogs out there about bedbugs. There are support groups out there with thousands of members about, you know, how do I do this? How do I get rid of bedbugs? So the taboo is starting to melt away. This is one simple graph, I guess, of the number of complaints that have come into the New York City Housing Preservation and Development, the 311 line that got routed to HPD. And this isn't even the most recent information. 2009 had something like 20,000, I'm not exactly sure, but even more bedbug complaints, more violations, and you can see that it's gone up steadily every year. So unless the pathways on which bedbugs are traveling through our communities and through the United States and around the world, really, unless these pathways are understood and really prevented, we're not going to be able to get rid of this problem. In addition to that, we don't have any type of insecticide or one method that works really well for bedbugs. We have to combine pest control techniques in order to deal with them the best. And that is the crux of integrated pest management, where you don't rely on pesticides or any one thing. You combine the right things to combat the pest. And every bedbug situation is really different. It's a case-by-case basis. The reality today is that bedbugs are showing up in schools. They are in child care facilities. They are in taxis and movie theaters and hospitals, nursing homes, and just about everywhere where there are people, retail stores, offices. The retail store phenomenon, to me, it seems that because offices are becoming infested, bedbugs are showing up in the workplace, and to me, in the retail sector, it's probably a result of bedbugs showing up in the workplace. In other words, the employees are probably dealing with this at home and bringing it in, and it's less of a consumer's issue, more of an employee's issue, but that's just my guess. And 2010 has been the year of the bedbug in the workplace. There have been so many reports from the Empire State Building down the block to Clinton's office, which actually was last year, Ralph Lauren's office, CNN Time Warner building, one of the studios there, and a whole host of different places. Do they reproduce in these places? That's a really good question. We don't know for sure, because what they like is when people settle down and are quiet. They don't necessarily need darkness, but they will come and bite you in a movie theater because you're sitting there for 2 hours and it is dark. But people have been bitten in their offices, so bedbugs are just opportunistic. Will they reproduce? To some extent, I believe they will. Will they thrive in offices? I really don't think that they'll thrive in these locations. But still, it's great concern. It's of great concern to the public and to people who work in these places. Just a little picture of bedbugs. Prevention is education. Everyone should know what bedbugs look like. Part of the reason that I do what I do is to help people understand what bedbugs look like. I have a great little tool here. This is a traveler's card. We thought of this because travelers were among the first people affected by bedbugs. And what this is four different wallet-sized cards that fold over and go in your wallet and allow you, it's a tool that you take with you in case that you do travel, to know what to look for and how to find it. There's one for a college student, there's one for a traveler, and there are two general ones. So I'm going to hand these out to everybody. This is our attempt to get as many people as possible to understand what bedbugs look like and to get on board with this. Used furniture is one of the biggest avenues, we think, especially New York City. People are always looking for great stuff on the curb. I lived in New York City. We found great stuff, you know, on the curb. And these days you cannot do that because a lot of the really great stuff is out there as a result of bedbugs. So where are we headed with all this? In the past, the first cities that took bedbugs on as an issue were Toronto and then several cities in Ohio. For some reason, Ohio has four cities on the top 20 list for bedbug infestation. And so Toronto has the Bedbug Project. Ohio has a Central Ohio Task Force and a Cincinnati-Hamilton County Task Force. They had lots and lots of complaints, but they responded right away to it and to be proactive. Recently, New York City, with the announcement of these recommendations and their press release, New York City's Department of Health and Mental Hygiene has repurposed $500,000 from other parts of their budget to deal with bedbugs. And we're grateful to the city, to the commissioner of the health department, because it's a start. $500,000 is not going to go very far, but for the development of a bedbug portal, it will at least standardize all the bedbug information that is available, especially to the agencies. Almost every agency of New York City's government is dealing with bedbugs. That's including emergency services and consumer affairs and social services and the health services and every other aspect. They're all dealing with it. The EPA and the CDC recently announced, made a joint statement, that bedbugs are a pest of significant public health importance. This was one of the most important announcements that came out since this problem started because it's providing an avenue for some funding. Again, EPA has provided $550,000, not that much money, but it's a start. And recognizing this as a public health pest has been a difficult thing to achieve. We do recognize, those of us who work with bedbugs, that it is a public health pest, but the powers that be who don't have the money to deal with it have been reluctant to recognize it that way. So we are very grateful to see that there's money available finally. I mentioned the Bedbug Advisory Board. It was created by legislation to guide New York City through the process of taking the next steps for bedbugs. In addition, I'm part of a Nassau County Bedbug Task Force because this is not just a city issue. This is not a New York City and a Cincinnati and Cleveland and Toronto issue. This happens in the suburbs, and it's not spreading from the city. It's simultaneously occurring in the suburbs as well. Some parts of Nassau County, it's one of the most wealthy counties, the number two wealthy county in the state, and there are some parts of it that with buildings that are 50% infested. So The task force that I work with is unique because it was started by the district attorney's office and addresses the quality of life, bedbugs as a quality of life issue. This is where perhaps we're going to become innovative in dealing with bedbugs because it's related to a lot of different things, not just health. It is quality of life. It does affect people's socioeconomic status because it costs so much to get rid of. Okay, so where are we headed? A lot of people ask me all the time, what's the best way to get rid of bedbugs, or what are they going to do about it? And something that came up recently was to re-register an old pesticide. I hear the cry to bring back DDT all the time. An old pesticide, which is actually still currently available, is propoxyr. But the EPA denied this request, and Ohio, the state of Ohio, made this request because there are significant health risks to people, and especially to children. And the EPA did not want to see the misuse and mishandling of this pesticide and overuse of it around children. Can we discover new pesticides? It does take a lot of money and a lot of effort to discover new pesticides, but there are several candidates out there that we use for other things, such as for flea and tick purposes. And those have been tested and they work reasonably well, so there may be a process where those become available for bed bug control. Another piece of research that came out this week or last week for the for bed bugs out of Sweden is this thing called an anti-aphrodisiac pheromone. It's a really neat phenomenon that happens. Male bed bugs indiscriminately try to mate with anyone around them, or you know, any of the other bed bugs around them, and there is an alarm pheromone that the females and the juveniles secrete to say, "Hey," I mean, the other males and the juveniles secrete that say, "You know, not me. I'm not who you want." You know, so the males will move on. And if you're not familiar with bedbug reproduction, they have a style of reproduction called traumatic insemination, and that is literally where the male stabs the female in the side of her body and injects a sperm packet. So if this does have a fitness cost, the females often get injured. But if a male does that to another male, that other male might die. And if a male does it to a juvenile bedbug, the juvenile bedbug might die. So it's in their interest to say, hey, have a way to say, back off. And this may be something where we twist bedbug biology to control them, if we can spray this out there, perhaps. So these kinds of little discoveries are probably the future of bedbug control, where we can take advantage of their vulnerabilities. Educating the public is probably the most important thing. We started a bedbug campaign in the city of Baltimore, just a pilot thing, where we put bedbugs on the buses, on the sides of buses, and got bugs. And the response was kind of mild. It wasn't great, but I think people are recognizing in greater numbers that bedbugs are an issue, and I attribute a lot of that really to the media's coverage of this issue. Otherwise, there is really no great solution in sight. Cooperation, education, awareness, prevention, those are the things that work the best to control bedbugs. There's no silver bullet. And that's all I have, and I know there will be a ton of questions. What I want to say is that I do have some live bed bugs here, if anyone wants to. A lot of, don't get itchy. If anyone wants to see them, they are here, they're live, and they're, you know, pretty active. I also have these traveler's cards to hand out. I have one male and two females. Don't take the lid off. Well, you can't see them through it. What's that? In here, if they had a really ideal environment with plenty of moisture, they could survive up to a year, even more. But in here, they might be deprived of moisture and they might not last as long. So I've had them in Ziploc bags. And somehow Ziploc bags just kill bed bugs. I don't know why we don't use this as a tool to kill. Sir?
Yeah. A lot of apartment buildings in New York have exterminators that come in regularly. What can they do? I mean, is there any weapons or tools? You haven't suggested anything that really works, so I'm not sure.
So what can exterminators do or landlords do?
Well, both. I mean, what?
Yes.
You know,
Well, that's part of the issue. Without the tenants' cooperation, and that is one of the most difficult things to achieve, it may not be solved. If an apartment building is 30% infested, it often means that the bedbugs have gone into the walls and have traveled from apartment to apartment. And when it becomes endemic like that, it's extremely difficult to deal with. You may need to use a whole building treatment or a heat treatment to kill them, but there is no one pesticide that works well. And that's why we're here today.
There's really nothing then that you...
There's a lot of things, but that is, they have to do a lot of things. They have to encourage everybody to reduce the clutter in their home and to clean like they've never cleaned before. And then using pesticides and using heat and all these varieties of tools we have out there, none of which works 100%. Ma'am?
Ecologically speaking, mm-hmm. how do bedbugs fit in? And also, a lot of these pesticides we use, I understand, and I put this sort of with a question mark because I don't quite all understand it, have helped to get rid of bees, which are so essential mm-hmm. to our lives, our substance. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of curious, one, how ecologically bed bugs fit into our lives, mm-hmm. and two, what do these pesticides do?
Okay. Well, ecologically, we believe that bed bugs have evolved from bugs that fed on bats. Bats and birds and humans all occupy, or had occupied, still probably, places that have shelter, such as caves. So the bed bug and the bat bug are very closely related. They look very similar, except for the length of some hairs. Ecologically...
Excuse me, I didn't mean the bed bugs and what are similar?
Oh, bat bugs.
Oh, bat bugs.
Right. There are several species of blood-feeding bugs, true bugs, that feed on bats. And if you watch Discovery Channel, you might see documentaries about this. It's pretty interesting. So we know that... We believe that bed bugs evolved from the bat bug and a long time ago and simply traveled with humans all along. How this group of insects started to feed on blood is probably simple enough as they had fed on plants and accidentally started feeding on blood because that was what was available, and it became a much more nutritious food source. So... Where in the second part of your question about the pesticides, there are pesticides that are used outdoors that we suspect are affecting the honeybees, but what we use indoors for bed bugs is really not the same group. So a group of, it's somewhat similar, but when we use pesticides indoors for bed bugs, we really don't have an effect on the outdoors. So, I'm sorry.
You mentioned heat.
Yes.
I haven't heard that before. Is it heating up the area, putting something in the dryer?
Yeah, both. The dryer is your best friend if you have bed bugs. All the things that you own that are soft that can go in the dryer can be tumbled right there as long as it's hot enough to kill the bed bugs, which is 120 degrees or better. And there are these whole apartment or whole house heat treatments where a group of a crew of workers come in with heating units, which look like small refrigerators or something, and lots of fans, and they heat the entire structure and all the contents up to about 135 degrees. And that makes every little crevice, at least, has to get up to 135 as well. Held for 6 hours, that makes it impossible for bedbugs to survive. Even the eggs are killed under those conditions.
How big an area could they cover?
I was at a building yesterday which housed 12 people, a large house basically, and this company was able to bring in a second crew and treat that whole structure. Could they treat an entire building in New York City? It would be hard.
Yeah. Could they do a floor by floor? Would that work?
Yeah, that's how they usually approach it if they do the heat treatment in a larger building. Mm-hmm. Sir?
The two of us represent hotel publications.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And hotels get particularly vulnerable.
That's right.
Because people come in every night and sleep in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're called bed bugs, a lot of people assume it's limited to the dead.
Right.
As I understand it now, that's not the case.
It's not the case. When people first bring a bedbug home, you know, if you're unlucky enough to bring one home in your luggage, the first place that bedbug will find harborage is wherever you are. So if you sleep on the couch, that's where the bedbug will be. But as the population starts to grow, they can go hide behind the headboard. They can hide in the baseboard moldings. They will hide just about anywhere, as long as they can get to you and they can sense your heat and your presence, really. So one of the most unsolvable cases that I heard about was a remote control. The battery compartment was where the bedbugs, the little holdout population was, just a few of them. But they couldn't solve this population. They finally found them in the remote control.
So is there any hotel owners or managers can do particularly, given the chances, given that someone who is checking in every night, maybe bringing the problem with them?
Right. I don't think there's anything that hotels can do to prevent travelers from bringing them, but we always recommend that hotels train their staff to be the first eyes, you know, to know what to look for, know the signs of bedbugs, because if a bedbug has fed, it will undoubtedly have to excrete that blood meal, and you'll find the classic stains, little blood spots. So if your staff are trained to notice that, they will be the, you know, the early detection system.
Even with the trained hotel staff, things like your bed bug traveler cards, people are going to be looking for them anyway in hotels. And I've heard stories of people trying to remove headboards, maybe even cause damage. What are, from a hotelier's perspective, that is obnoxious, that people might be, you know, ruining their what are safe ways for people to look for them and
when I travel, I don't go as far as to take the headboard off, but what I do is immediately when I get into the hotel room, I put my luggage by the door or somewhere in the bathroom, and I inspect the entire bed. So I don't want to be damaging, and I don't certainly wouldn't pull anything off the walls. But the first place that I look is around the mattress seams, between the mattress and the box spring, and usually where the box spring sits on the frame. I look in those spots for the fecal matter. And I often do a quick look at the side table and under the lamp and things like that. So the story about the headboard, I do have a good story. A friend of mine who is in pest control went to a hotel, and he just had a feeling that there were bedbugs in this hotel room. He just couldn't settle down until he had found them. So he did take the headboard off, and he found bedbugs behind the headboard. Whereas the rest of the room was really immaculate, he did find them there. So often that's usually, it can be where they are, even though they've been treated.
The
spots.
So to kind of piggyback on what she said, is there any kind of preventative maintenance that hoteliers, landlords, furnished apartment people can employ to help at least somehow control this, as we do have a lot of people that move in and move out on a constant basis?
One of the easiest way to do an inspection is to hire a bedbug sniffing dog. There are standards now in the industry that guide how they're trained and how they're used. So I would definitely follow those kinds of standards, find a company that follows those standards. But bedbug sniffing dogs are great for large areas or frequent inspections.
Now, what if you do find bedbugs and you hire an exterminator to exterminate that area where you found them? How far out should you go?
It depends on if the dog hits on one spot, probably that spot is the only place that needs to be treated. If the dog hits on a few different spots in a room, you might, you know, of course, treat the whole room and close it. If it were a hotel room, I would certainly close that until it was cleared. By
just that room or around the room?
Exactly, yeah.
It depends. I mean, if you
have... Up and down, side by side.
Right. Inspection is definitely recommended if you have multiple spots in one room. You go one unit up, down, in every direction, just to be absolutely sure.
I have a question more from a consumer point of view. My name is a foreign people living in apartments area. How can we minimize the risk that you are involved in? There are going to be times we say that things like Soviet nuclear bombing.
Yeah.
People will want to have their friends over, they want to see the park bench. First of all, how transmissible are they really? And second of all, how can we minimize the chance that you'll get into it? Or how can we find it, instead of having a bed by inspector, you know, about changing the premises, how can you find it?
How can you avoid bringing bedbugs home? I don't know if there's one effective way to do that, because it could happen in this room. It could happen anywhere, really. I don't want to scare people, but it could happen anywhere. And the best remedy for that is to know what they look like. And only if you bring home an adult female, that's the only one that's going to start an infestation in your home, is an adult female. She's very visible. So if you know what they look for and inspect yourself on a frequent basis, also paying attention to bites. If it's, you know, December and I got a mosquito bite, that's a little strange. I would suspect perhaps a bed bug instead. But knowledge, just super awareness, hyper vigilance about it.
Bites different from the itch more, the
It's really quite variable among people. So you might have somebody who doesn't react at all, and you might have somebody who reacts very severely to it to have blisters, and everything in between. So we don't have a standard reaction, and how it compares to mosquitoes is, you know, they overlap.
I think that early detection, early treatment is important.
It is.
Early,
That's right. Okay. I'm going to go around this way then. Yeah.
I heard some people talked about putting something in their luggage when they traveled, mm-hmm. that dogs or pets or something, some animal product, put into the bag. I can't remember what it was exactly.
No.
Actually, I kind of piggyback on hers. I've actually done a lot of research on this on the web, of course. But they do have this spray now that you can spray on your luggage. And I was going to ask also how effective those are. If you're going into a room to inspect, you find, you risk them hopping on you, you know, your shoes or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. How effective are those sprays?
Depends on what's in them. You know, there are botanicals that may work to keep that one bed bug crawling across from going on your shoe, but will it kill the bed bug? They're not really tested. That's the problem.
Is there a list of effective chemicals that do so? I mean, how do you know by looking at the label what works?
You don't.
You
absolutely would want to be sure that bed bugs are on the label of any product that you use. But there are a lot of questionable products, untested products out there that have popped onto the market that you find in retail stores and et cetera, that I would not recommend wasting money on. You know, there's a product called Sterifab, which is...
What's that?
It's something that's called Sterifab. It is used in hospitals. It is a sanitizer, but it's also always had bed bugs on the label. And it's something that people do spray their luggage down with when they travel.
And is it effective?
Somewhat. It is.
What do you mean somewhat? Does it kill bed bugs?
Not 100%. Nothing kills bed bugs 100%. And that is because
heat does.
That it's a matter of exposure. You have to expose the bed bugs to this product. And if a bed bug is hiding underneath something, there's no residual. So if the bed bug crawls over that, when it's dried, it's not going to kill the bed bug.
So if you took a hair dryer, very hot,
mm-hmm.
and put it in, blew it on your luggage, would we see bed bugs come out if they were there?
You might, yeah. You might risk blowing them away before you could notice them, but set on a low setting of the blower, where the temperature is still hot enough to maybe be uncomfortable on your hand, that's probably a good technique. And New York City's Department of Health, they have a self-help pamphlet, and one of the techniques they recommend is to use a blow dryer to heat up the seams of your mattress. And, you know, they're looking for ways that people can do this without spending too much money. Sir?
You talked a lot about U.S. and Canada, you mentioned. What about the worldwide situation, since a lot of us are interested in travel?
Sure.
What is happening around the world now?
Well, we know that bedbugs came onto the scene or started to become more common in the developed world pretty much 10 years ago. So Australia and the U.K. and parts of Europe are all dealing with bedbugs more and more, just like we are, Canada as well. Worldwide, they never went away. You know, people use DDT in Africa, some of the countries in Africa, for mosquitoes. We know that bedbugs are nearly 100% resistant to DDT. So, you know, I don't know what countries like that are doing about bedbugs, if they're doing anything.
You mentioned the New York City
Health Department. Mm-hmm. How is it accessible? It's on the New York City Health Department's homepage.
What are your thoughts on movie theaters? Because that's been such a big concern. Mm-hmm. And new people are coming in with every.
Right.
See, what do you think movie theaters need to do, and what can consumers do in the meantime?
It's a difficult thing. You can't inspect it very effectively. They're using the bedbug sniffing dogs on a regular basis, but how, if you have five shows in a movie theater on a Tuesday, how can you inspect after every show? I think we're all simply, it's like the flu. We have to be vigilant and we have to protect ourselves and expect that you could encounter it anywhere.
Do you recommend that people wear pants and socks?
So,
I mean,
but would that help?
If you're worried about being bitten, that's the least of the concerns. If you're worried about bringing something home, it wouldn't matter if you wore pants or socks or anything, because you could bring them home on your coat, on your shorts, you know, on your shoes. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Do they only feed at night?
No, they'll feed any time that they have the opportunity to feed. Sir?
Yeah, if you're traveling and you find bikes, I think, and you're in an undeveloped area, what should one do? I mean, are there a series of steps to be taken?
If you have access to a dryer, travelers often, will wash all their things or dry them at least before they hop a plane or come into their house or something like that. A dryer is one of the best, most effective things for anyone who travels, because soft luggage can be put in there, and anything that you carried probably can go into a dryer. Even wool, if you don't wash it, it can be dried. But there is also this thing called a Pack-Tite, and it is a small portable heating unit that will fit luggage. It's made to be large enough to fit the large piece of luggage. And a lot of travelers invest in the Pack-Tite because it's a little heating chamber, basically, for anything that might be at risk. For bed bug exposure. It's really quite a brilliant little thing. You can put shoes in there, toys in there.
$288 on Amazon.com, free shipping.
That's right.
But are there any health measures to take if you're in an undeveloped area? No?
Not for bed bugs.
No.
But the thing is, something can melt. I mean, you said
it doesn't go that high. It doesn't really, I mean, I wouldn't put a candle in there or my makeup or anything. But your shoes won't melt. It only goes to about 140, I think, degrees.
And plastic toys wouldn't melt.
I don't think so. Sir?
On the hotel side, mm-hmm. Are there any hotels in New York that you're aware of that are doing effective training with their staff?
I don't know. I think the Statler Hotel at Cornell has been proactive about training staff and having seminars. But as far as local, you know, in New York City hotels, I really don't have a lot of contact with anyone, so they might be, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I know. And a lot of them have had a little bit of bed bug training from our program.
Mm-hmm. One more question, which maybe I'm sorry for your expertise, but a hotel guest comes down to the front desk, claims he or she was bitten by a bed bug, and is going to sue the hotel. Do you have any comments on that vulnerability or that kind of liability?
Well, if a bedbug has taken all reasonable, if a hotel they take every reasonable measure to make sure they can bite you. If a hotel has taken every reasonable measure to combat bedbugs and has a protocol in place, and has not been negligent and has not rented out a known-to-be-infested room, the hotel probably doesn't have a lot of liability for that. Would somebody be successful in suing? Maybe for a little bit of pain and suffering or something like that. But the courts are still deciding a lot of this, and it does depend on the history of that hotel's reaction to bed bugs. Nearly every hotel's probably dealt with them by now and has a track record.
Do you know of any legislation like in New York City in terms of apartment rentals or sales? If you know that an apartment in your building has had bed bugs, must you tell the prospective renter or buyer?
There was recently the New York State, the governor signed the bill that required landlords in New York City to disclose whether in the past year there had been bed bugs in a new rental or, I think it's just a rental. I don't know if it applies to ownership.
I think it's just if they ask, you don't have to volunteer.
Oh, really? They're not smart enough to ask.
Are there any major cases of cruise ships being invested? Yep.
Yes.
They're not. Oh.
They are. I mean, there are many cases of cruise ships. A few years ago, that was in the news. I think the useful thing about cruise ships is that they're probably easier to clean, sanitize each unit. It's probably a little easier than a regular hotel, perhaps a wooden structure hotel room. Ma'am?
You mentioned that New York State has a law.
Mm-hmm.
What about the rest of the United States? Is this a popular law or just limited?
It's a state law, and it is the first one of its kind, I believe. But other states are going to follow suit, I'm sure. It's rumored. None so far. The New York City City Council Speaker Christine Quinn and Gail Brewer, who is a legislator, put out the press release on July 28th that said that they are going to follow X, Y, and Z recommendations. One of them is to create the bed bug portal, and the next one I have it. It's in their press release. They don't state that they're going as far as to hire a bed bug czar, but they state that they will be organizing to help people combat bed bugs more efficiently and training or providing resources to HPD and NYCHA, so that's private housing and public housing, to do better inspections.
Do they know when that portal's going to be? Are you part of that? You were just part of the commission.
Okay. I don't know what they're doing about it. They're meeting. They have lots of meetings going on, but I don't know what they're doing, what their plans are yet.
Is there anything else specific to New York City that either has played a role in widespread or anything else that needs to change in New York City?
There are a lot of ways that bed bugs get spread around. One of the illegal activities that happens that really is hard to control is the scavenging of mattresses from the curb. As you saw that van in the picture, that's a true picture from a colleague of mine, Ray Lopez, who helped write this report. He took a photograph of the scavengers taking mattresses. They take them to refurbishers. There are no guidelines yet from the state about refurbishing, sanitizing mattresses to be refurbished. So they can do anything they want with these, and you often find bed bugs in refurbished mattresses. That's been in the news. So that's one thing. The Department of Sanitation needs a better way to prevent that from happening, to prevent things from being taken from the curb. It's illegal. Once it's on the curb, it is Department of Sanitation's property. That would be a great step, but it's really difficult.
Whose responsibility is it to implement this?
It became the City Health Department and the Housing Preservation and Development Department.
So it's in their hands now.
Yeah. Yeah, as a coalition. They're working together.
On the academic side, can you tell me more about where the research is headed? I mean, you mentioned testing new pesticides, but beyond that, where is the research going?
Research, currently, they are doing a lot of pesticide testing to see whether some of the pesticides we don't normally use in the house or whatever might be effective, and looking for delivery, ways to deliver it without exposing children, for example. But trapping is another area of research, because we know that bedbugs communicate and aggregate, and basically they have a small social life based on pheromones. So there is an aggregation pheromone. Unfortunately, one of the studies showed that the pheromone had a very limited range, so it wasn't useful to put a trap here and attract bedbugs from all over the room. There are other ways to attract bedbugs. People are researching what are the kind of chemicals they might pick up on in our breath. And the pheromone research that I mentioned earlier from Sweden about the alarm pheromone, that's pretty interesting, you know, work. And I think that'll have good application. There are people doing population studies. How do bedbugs travel in a building, and what makes them travel? Those kinds of questions are being looked at. But truthfully, there's not a lot of money for research at this time. So they are pulling together, robbing from Peter to pay Paul, sort of, to get the research accomplished.
Do you expect more private sector donations for research, like hotels that are worried about it?
Not really. It never really happens. Well, do you have a question?
Yeah. Maybe this is not completely your area of expertise, since you're not like a clinical researcher necessarily, but I heard that there are some findings about, because you know bedbugs can't transmit disease, right? But
right.
They like take it in and then they just kind of get rid of it inside themselves, and so that's why they don't, when they bite someone else, they don't spread it.
Right.
Could that, like, what implications does that have, like, beyond, you know, when it comes to stopping the spread of other diseases, like HIV or something? Like, do you know of any research being done with that?
No. That'll be in the future, maybe.
Okay.
We do know that it takes a long time for a disease to evolve with its host, with its vector, to be able to transfer to the host. It has to, in the case of mosquitoes and some of the other bloodborne illnesses carried by bugs, those organisms have to get into the salivary glands to be transferred back into a host. So that really hasn't happened with bedbugs. What we do concern ourselves with is bedbugs in communities where methicillin-resistant staph is common, because that is an opportunistic disease that will invade, you know, wounds on the skin. So if we have a community with a lot of bedbugs and a community with MRSA in the same group, we might see a very significant outbreak of MRSA. And there are reports of that already.
Would you spell that? Isn't that M-E-R-S-A?
It's just M-R-S-A.
M-R-S-A.
Some more of the myths around, because I just came out of a gym, and I was talking, I said I was coming to this bedbug lecture, and I decided to talk about the things they heard,
yeah.
And somebody says, well, one of her exterminators said the best thing to use is to spray alcohol and water in crevices around the room and all of that. Is that true or not?
Alcohol can kill bedbugs on contact. That said, so can soap and water. So you might be better off using soap and water, because alcohol is flammable. And we've seen a lot of cases where people have used gasoline and doused their mattresses, or kerosene, which was the old school way to do things. And alcohol falls into that. If you have fumes of alcohol, of, you know, ethyl alcohol or methyl alcohol, isopropyl, in the house, you can ignite an explosion or cause a fire. So we don't really recommend that. It's not a good tactic. Soap and water, you know, detergent and water. But, I mean, does anyone have any other myths that they hear, or common things? Does cold kill them? There is a system out there called cryonite, which will flash freeze them as though you're using a carbon dioxide fire extinguisher to flash freeze it. And that works if it hits the bed bug or the eggs directly. It's flash freezing to a very cold temperature. If you were to put some items into your freezer in your home, that's probably not going to kill the eggs. It might kill bugs, and especially it would kill bugs that have fed recently that are fat with blood, because the blood will freeze. But it's not going to kill the eggs. The eggs are very resilient.
So
yes?
Are you actually better off putting them in the oven?
Yep.
The dryer.
The dryer. Yeah.
So how long should you put it in the dryer?
If your dryer is over 120 degrees, we recommend a half hour. It does. People recommend varying things. It just has to get to 120 degrees. Mm-hmm. and sustaining that for 30 minutes is a great idea.
Are there any insecticides or anything that works? Some guys, you say none of them seem to work. What does have a chance of some efficacy?
All of them have some efficacy. What we do know is that there is an active ingredient called deltamethrin, and that is the one that bedbugs are most resistant to in the pyrethroids. DDT, we know they're very, very resistant to as well. It's the one that performs the worst. But deltamethrin is common in a lot of formulations that we use. Unfortunately, people are using it a lot and furthering resistance. There is another active ingredient called lambda-cyhalothrin, and I can spell that for you. Lambda, like the Greek letter. Cyhalothrin, C-Y-H-A-L-O-T-H-R-I-N. That's pretty effective, but it's only available to applicators, certified professional applicators. It's restricted use. You want to make sure, first of all, that they're certified applicators, that they have insurance, they're registered with the New York State DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation. And then, other than that, there is no particular bedbug certification, but you can ask them for references. You can look up their reputation online. It's pretty easy to find that information today. And so I would recommend do your research about a company. If they do a good job, you'll hear about it online.
Ma'am? What are the side effects of this lambda-cyhalothrin?
The side effects could be significant if you are directly exposed to it. The pyrethroids tend to cause sort of the headache, twitchiness, and worst-case scenario, vomiting, that kind of thing. So you wouldn't want to be exposed to it directly. That type of product would be something used in cracks and crevices around a room, not on the mattress, you know, not on sleeping areas. And certainly I would never use something like that around my kids. Yes?
You guys put out this report in April with this really long list of recommendations, but what are your thoughts on what's happened so far? The city's response to it, the receptiveness or not? My thoughts.
Well, since I work with the city still, I understand that they have a lot of issues on hand right now, West Nile virus being one of them, rodents being another one of them in the summer. So they're working to pull some money together. I thought that was remarkable. I don't know what their plans are at this moment for the report, and I do know that they only have the capacity to implement maybe one or two of our recommendations. My hope is that the city will look to implement all the rest of these recommendations over time. But how do I feel about them? I know it takes time to pull these things together. So, that's, you know. Ma'am?
Yeah, I mean, I know that the bed bugs sound like a plague and very uncomfortable and something I'd never want to deal with. But when you think of it, when you get bitten by a mosquito and you can get Lyme disease.
Well, that would be a tick.
Yeah.
We'll give you Lyme disease.
I'm sorry, yeah. A tick. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's much more serious.
Sure. It is. Because bedbugs don't vector disease, that has placed them lower on the sort of scale with health departments.
They itch.
They can carry, catch a ride with you on your things. They're sort of a community pest because they travel with people on our belongings and among our homes. But we've ignored this issue, I think, for long enough, because nobody should have to live with this. And some of the folks out there who sort of fall under the radar are living with this and providing what you might call a reservoir of bed bugs that are getting out into the community. And when we discover these apartments, I just heard about one yesterday in my town, in Suffolk County, when we hear about these and the conditions under which people are living and the millions of bed bugs in their home, it's just as bad, I think, as a disease-carrying organism that bites you once or twice. So, you want to shoot some bed bugs? Got bed bugs here. Anybody want to see?
Yes. I wanted to say we're very close to 1:30, so those people.
No, they don't jump.
By all means,
but they are sort of hiding. Oh, look at him! He's trying to get it on with the lady there. There's two of them right here.
Wait.
Oh. See him on top of her?
Yeah, he's mating. He's stabbing
Not
her.
Yes. Not yet. If he wraps his body around, he'll be...
He's stabbing her. Just like in the Russell...
So he's like a little black dot.
Could they jump?
No, they don't jump. You can get a good close look at them without feeling fear. The female has a rounded abdomen, and the male has a pointy, sort of a spade-shaped.